אנחנו קוראים בספר זוהר לעם פרשת לך לך.
We're reading from Zohar for All, portion Lech Lecha, item 201. Can download the text on kab.tv or in kabbalah.info. Likewise, you can ask questions on the same website, and questions related to the theme of the lesson will be aired. Zohar for All, Lech Lecha portion, item 201.
And we will connect together, you know, that to invite the influence of the Zohar on us.
201. Avraham was not called one until he was mingled with Yitzchak and Yaakov. When he was mingled with Yitzchak and Yaakov, and all three together became the patriarchs of the world, Avraham was called one. In other words, after he was mingled as one with all three lines, he was called one and not before. This is when he was called an apple in the world, meaning that he has three colors, white, red, and green, like an apple, which implies to the three lines, and he excelled above all his contemporaries. 202. Like an apple tree, among the trees of the forest is the Creator, the right line. My beloved is the Creator, the left line. In his shade is the Creator, the middle line. I took great delight and sat on the day when the Creator appeared on Mount Sinai, and Israel received the Torah and said, "We will do and we will hear." Then divinity said, "I took great delight and sat." Item 203. And his fruit was sweet to my taste, are the words of the Torah, which are sweeter than honey and honeycomb. And his fruit was sweet to my taste, are the souls of the righteous, all of whom are the fruits of the produce of the actions of the Creator, and stand with him above. 204. The souls of the world, which are the produce of the actions of the Creator, are all one. Above, it is still not apparent that they are male and female, until all the souls descend in the form of male and female, and each soul is made male and female connected as one. 205. The female's craving for the male makes a soul, and also the male's craving for the female and his adhesion with her produces a soul, which includes the soul from the craving of the female and takes it. Thus, the craving of the lower one, the female, is included in the craving of the upper one, the male, and the two souls become one without separation. 206. And then the female contains everything, taking both souls and becoming impregnated by the male in them. The craving of the both of them becomes attached, and they become as one. Hence, everything is mingled with each other, and when the souls come out, male and female are mingled in them as one. 207. Afterwards, when they descend to the world, the male and female separate from one another. One turns this way, and the other turns that way, and later, the Creator mates them. But the key for the Zivug is given to none other than the Creator, for only He knows how to mate them, to unite properly, so they become male and female of the same soul. 208. Happy is the man who is rewarded with his actions and walks on the path of truth, to unite a soul with a soul for him. male and female, as they were before they descended into the world. But if he is not rewarded, he will not be given his mate. This is why it is written about him, "And his fruit was sweet to my taste." Since that man has been blessed with a proper correction of male and female. Also, the world will be blessed with sweet fruits from him, meaning handsome offspring, since everything depends on man's action or whether or not he was rewarded.
We understand that inside the soul it's coarseness, screen, and reflected light. The reflected light, screen and reflected light is the male that depends on the female. So they depend on each other and they crave for each other in the corrected vessel, right? And the main thing is the balance between them, that they have to be in that form, working with the right attitude, relation between them.
Item 209. The Creator said to the assembly of Israel, divinity, "From me is your fruit found." He does not say, "Is my fruit found?" but "your fruit," indicating to that craving of the female, who makes the female of the soul, which is included in the strength of the male. Also the soul of the female included in the soul of the male, and they become one, mingled in one another. Afterwards, they are separated in the world. Indeed, by the force of the male is the fruit of the female present in the world. The words "your fruit" point to the fruits of the female, to the soul that extends by her craving. The text tells us that even the soul of the female is not from herself, but from her mingling with the soul of the male. This is why he says, "From me is your fruit found." 210. "From me is your fruit found." This is so because by the craving of the female herself, from which the female of the soul comes, the fruit of the male is found. Had it not been for the craving of the female for the male, there would be no fruit in the world, meaning there would be no offspring.
Questions? It's not a problem to think about us needing to be in tight, connected together, that through this connection we invite the light that reforms, that to stabilize the right connection between us. And in that connection we're creating the general desire, which is called female, with the screen and the general reflected light that is called male. And then through the connection between them, man and female and male, we discover the Creator.
And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, 2:11. Seven firmaments did the Creator make above, which are the Zat Datzilut, Zat of Atzilut, Chagat Nehim. All of them are in order to know the glory of the Creator, and all of them are poised to announce the meaning of the high faith. 2:12. There is a hidden upper firmament above those seven firmaments, Bina of Atzilut, the firmament that leads them and shines to all of them. It is hidden, meaning it's Gar, Abba Ve'ima, and it is doubted because it is unknown, meaning it's Zat, Yeshut. Since it is hidden and deep, and everyone wonders about it. This is why its Zat is called Mi, as in out of whose abdomen came the ice. This is the uppermost firmament, which stands atop all seven firmaments. Item 2:13. Below there is a firmament, Malchut, the lowermost, and it does not shine. And because it is the lowermost and does not shine, that uppermost firmament atop them, Bina, which is called Mi, conjoins in it. This means that the uppermost firmament, Mi, The Chokhmah does not shine to any firmament of the Zat, but only to the lowest among them, which is Malchut. And the two letters, Mem, Yud, of the upper firmament, which is called Mi, contains them within it. It is called Yam Si, from the letters Mi. 214. Because all those other firmaments above the lowermost firmament, which are Chagat Nehi, became streams and enter it. It becomes the upper sea and bears fruit and various fish, which are the mochin that it gives to Bia. And David said about it, "This is the sea great and wide, in which are swarms without number, animals both small and great." 2:15. It is written about it, "Who has aroused one from the east, whom he calls in righteousness to his feet? He delivers up nations before him and subdues kings. Who has aroused from the east is Avraham. Avraham awakened the upper firmament called Mi to bestow Chokhmah upon the lower firmament called Yam Si. He calls in righteousness to his feet is the lowest firmament of all seven firmaments, which became a sea. He delivers up nations before him. Before him is the bottom firmament, which takes vengeance and makes the enemies fall. David is praised in him and says, 'You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me.' This is so because the illumination of Chokhmah destroys all the external ones and the Klipot. And since only the bottom firmament receives illumination of Chokhmah, and the six that are above it, he says that he takes vengeance and makes the enemies fall, and also he gives nations before him."
Only in the connection between us, when we exert, we discover those discernments that the Zohar is talking about. Only in this manner can a man discover spirituality. And the people who wrote the Zohar, when they joined, as we write about them, how they wrote it, that initially they hated each other and then they connected with each other to literally, truly one body, then in their effort of connecting above their egos, above the hatred, he discovered those discernments. They discovered those discernments which they write about. That's the whole thing. Connection in bestowal on top of reception. This is called that you discover the upper state or the upper world above the lower ego.
Item 216. He gives nations before him are the nations that Avraham was chasing and the Creator was killing. And subdues kings refers to the angels appointed over them from above. This is so because when the Creator inflicts din, judgment, in the world, he inflicts din on everyone, above and below, in the nations below, and in their ministers above in heaven. 2:17. He pursues them, passing on in peace. He pursues them is Avraham, since Avraham was pursuing them, and the Creator was passing before him and killing them. Passing on in peace is the Creator, who is called Peace. 2:18. By a way, he had not been traversing with his feet, means that neither an angel nor a messenger was walking before Avraham, but only the Creator, as it is written, traversing with his feet. His feet are those angels that are under the Creator, as it is written, and his feet shall stand in that day. The angels are called his feet, and the meaning of the words his feet is the angels who will not come by Avraham's way at that time, but the Creator alone was on his way. 2:19. Another interpretation. When the Creator awakened the world, which is Malchut, to bring Avraham closer to him, this awakening was for Yaakov, who is the East. This is because Yaakov was destined to come out of him and beget 12 tribes, all of which would be righteous before the Creator. And the meaning of the words in that Mi, which is Bina, awakened the world to bring Avraham from the East. For the East is Yaakov, since Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called South, North, and East. 2:20. He calls in righteousness to his feet. The Creator was always calling on Yaakov since the day the world was created. And this indeed is the reason why he was called Tzedek, justice, which is Malchut. To his feet means bonding with him in his work and bringing him closer to him. As it's written, and all the people that are at your feet, which is the people that are connected to you. To his feet means bonding with him. 2:21. Who has aroused one from the east, from which the light begins to shine? All the force of the light in the south, Chesed, is from the east, which is Tiferet. This is why it is written, who has aroused the light of the south, Chesed, from the east, which is Tiferet, who aroused him. Tiferet takes and is nourished first, and then gives to Vak, which are included in Tiferet, in which there is the south, Chesed. The desire of the upper firmament, Bina, is to bestow upon the east Tiferet. This means that the one who receives from Bina is Tiferet, who is the main one from the Vak. Afterwards he gives to the edges, in which there is the light of Chesed. Thus the south does not receive from Bina, but from the east. This is why it is written, who has aroused one from the east? 2:22. He calls in righteousness to his feet, his west, Malchut, who always calls to the east, Tiferet, and does not rest. As it is written, O God, keep not your silence, since the west, Malchut, called Elohim, God, always awakens to him. He delivers up the nations before him and subdues kings, since from him, from the east, he received the strength to subdue all the peoples of the world. 2:23. Who has aroused one from the east is Avraham, who took the awakening to the Creator only from the east, because when he saw the sun rising in the morning from the east, he took an awakening for himself, which is the Creator. He said about the sun, this is the King who created me, and he worshipped the sun and the whole day. In the evening, he saw that the sun was setting and the moon rose. He said about the moon, this one must be ruling the worship that he was worshipping the whole of that day, the sun, since the sun had been darkened before the moon and does not shine. Thus he worshipped the moon the whole of that night. 2:24. In the morning he saw that the moon darkened and the east illuminated. He said, there must be a king and a ruler over all those who leads them. When the Creator saw Avraham's desire, he appeared before him and spoke to him. As it is written, he calls in righteousness to his feet. Righteousness is the Creator, who called him and spoke to him and appeared before him. 2:25. Speak righteousness and declare things that are right. All of the Creator's words are true, and declare things that are right. Because when the Creator created the world did not stand, but collapsed to this side and to that side. The Creator said to the world, "Why are you falling?" It told him, "Dear Lord, I cannot stand because I have no foundation, yesod, on which to stand." 2:26. The Creator told it, "Thus, I will place a righteous one with you, Avraham, who will love me." And the world immediately stood and existed. It is written, "These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created." Do not read it, "Behi Baram," when they were created, but "Be Avraham," since the world existed in Avraham. 2:27. The world replied to the Creator, "Avraham is destined to beget sons who will destroy the temple and burn the Torah." The Creator told it, "One man will come out of him, Yaakov, and 12 tribes will come out of him, all of which are righteous." Promptly the world existed for him. 2:28. It was said, and he spoke, and he said, and each has its unique reason. And he spoke means in disclosure, which is Malchut, who is called the revealed world. This is the utmost degree, and is not an internal degree, such as the ones above her, and declare things that are right, is the Malchut, which is considered speech. 2:29. And he said, implies to an internal degree above Malchut, which governs the speech, Malchut. This is the meaning of declare things that are right. Right is a high degree, where Yaakov is Tiferet, as it is written, "You have established rightness. This is why it writes, "Declare here," and does not write "speak," to indicate that it refers to Tiferet and not to Malchut. 2:30. But it is written, "And he spoke unto you his covenant." As was said, "Speak," regarding the covenant. He could have said it with tzedek, justice too. Speaking is also considered a covenant, yesod, since tiferet and covenant are one. However, yesod is a degree that rules over the lower one, which is the speak righteousness. Hence, it is possible to use spoke in it as well. Although it is said that the speaking is lowermost, it is a high and important degree. Speaking indicates that it is filled with all the degrees and that it is a high degree. This is so because although speech is the utmost degree, Malchut, Malchut is not called speech unless when she is built and made of internal partsuf equal to Zeranpin Panim Bepanim, face to face. At that time, Zeranpin is called voice, and the Nukva, speech. Thus, on the one hand, speech means Malchut, the most external and the lowest. And, on the other hand, it indicates to her complete construction, panim bepanim, with zera'anpin, at which time she is a high degree.
Questions? Maybe there are questions about the style, because still we are changing a little bit the language of the Zohar. We clean it up from several... Sorry that I call it like that regarding the Zohar, but we clean it up from all kinds of marks, demarcations that can be here obstructive to the reading of someone who is not used to reading such books. Are there any demands about that? Yes. Go ahead.
Miguel from Mexico is asking about what we read, not about the text in general, but he's asking, why are the Sefirot called empty? Skies, firmaments.
Firmament is a screen. If we want to say that it's not just the Sefira, but it's really a special screen that delineates and separates between the degrees, then we say firmament. Every word has its own meaning in its own place. Certainly, we're only talking about the desire to receive that has a screen and a reflected light, refracted light, restriction, coarseness within the will to receive the power of overcoming accordingly in the screen. So those are technical terms. But we, as we work with those terms, with those technical terms in desires and overcoming only, we have nothing else. We discover there phenomena that are called with names of our impressions, our sensual impressions. So there is a will to receive within which this phenomena, such one phenomena or another, is being revealed. And we are talking about the phenomena, not about the will to receive itself that invites that phenomena. Right? Well, let's say I take a violin and I start playing. So I can give you here a great, you know, detailed explanation about the violin, how it's constructed and how I press and move all kinds of things and what degree of pressure and what speed, etc. Or instead I can just tell you in about my impressions about the music and the emotions that it evokes within me. I'm happy, I cry. This is one language, the other is another language. They both talk about the phenomena. But one is technical, and the second one is emotional. This one is in moha, in mind, and the other one is in liba, in heart. And we are doing the same in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Zohar talks more in the language of the heart, which is understood to one who feels those phenomena, however. If I don't hear that music, that supreme music, and then it's just telling me about, I don't know, and Baal Sulam especially adds to it the language of Kabbalah, which talks about discernments, Sefirot, Patsufim, degrees of coarseness, screens, and that helps us tie together these two languages and somehow be closer to the actual phenomena, either through the emotion or through the mind, or in some sort of connection between them or average between them, somehow attached to it. Because ultimately this is what, if I would be attached correctly with the intent to bestow with the environment, with the group, this is how I would discover these phenomena within me, as they were discovered by those friends of Rabbi Shimon, that in the connection between them they discovered what they discovered, and they called it Zohar. So if we were capable of reaching their state, we would also discover the same. Isn't that a shame?
Maybe regarding that matter, a student who hasn't identified himself is asking, how can we reach the fact that we have a sort of foundation to our work, or what foundation do we need?
Yesod, foundation. There is a book by that name, the Yesod of Havudah, the foundation for the work. The foundation of our work is self-counseling towards the correct society that will influence me and give me the will, the desire to bestow. It will influence me. Through her, I will receive the will to bestow. That in that desire, will to bestow, I discover the supreme reality. That is the foundation. And also foundation, Yesod, is the Sefira. Yesod is the bestower, the emanator. This is why it's called the place of contact between the lower and the upper, the place of coupling.
A Prahlad is asking us, before you spoke about the importance of the idea of cleaning out the text. So he said, if the intention is important and not the understanding, why do you have to edit the text or change it? Does it change the light that you receive from it?
Please read from letter 155 in the preface. It's very important to feel the text as close as possible to you. You can't read, let's say, Chinese and make intentions properly. Bala Sulam says himself that the Zohar is filled with all kinds of expressions and that its style is a little bit archaic. And there is a problem to a modern man to open that book and start reading there. The way it was written, especially that it was written in Aramaic, and that's one thing. Secondly, even when Bala Sulam adds his own language and he adds many byproducts, parentheses and other additions, words that don't talk directly about the text itself, but rather it was customary to write that way in the older style. So what was done, and you can actually compare, you know, we have the original Zohar text in our archive in the computer. You can just put one in front of the other and see what we've done. We're open to, you know, everything we do is open to everyone, and you can just see it. And we want to hear your criticism and hear. And we want people to understand what we have done when we prepare this book, Zohar Al-Am. A man has to see himself more and more attached to the book and close to it. And that his craving, his yearning, through the reading, will direct him to the goal of the creation. How does he write there?
He writes in item 155 in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot that there's a great remedy for those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And even though they don't understand what they are learning, through the yearning and the great desire to understand what they are learning, they awaken upon themselves the light that surrounds their souls.
Meaning, you still have to be, as you read and you don't understand what you're reading, yet the yearning remains. You have something. If you're looking at something, you don't identify anything, it's very hard. It's very hard. It's really impossible. Torah still talks both in the tongue, in the language of people, and it's also written in the language of the branches. And there are four language sub-languages in it, and all of them are used. Zohar was also written in the language of Midrash, of interpretation. It was all done in order to still attach a man and kind of help him open the text, tease him.
O God, do not keep silent. 231. The awakening of the upper one is only through the awakening of the lower one, because the awakening of the upper one depends on the craving of the lower one. 232. O God, do not keep silent. This is the awakening from below, from the side of the Nukva, so as to govern. David said, O God, do not keep silent. From awakening to the upper one, Zeranpin, and to bond with the right, his Chesed. 233. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, for they have conspired together with one mind. Against you they make a covenant. The Nukva is the left, Chochmah without Chasadim, and Chochmah cannot shine without Chasadim. For this reason, all the Klipot and the enemies of Kedusha, of holiness, raise their heads. And for this reason, O God, do not keep silent from awakening upwards. to Zeranpin. This is so because at that time the right of Zeranpin awakens and ties her with him. And when she is tied to the right, when the Chokhmah in her dresses in the Chasadim on the right, the enemies break, since the illumination of Chokhmah destroys all the enemies of Kedusha, as it is written, "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, dashes the enemy in pieces." 2:34. When all those kings joined together to wage war on Avraham, they conspired to annihilate him from the world. And since they ruled Lot, Avraham's nephew, they immediately went, as it's written, and they took Lot, Avram's brother's son, and his goods, and departed. This was so because Lot's form was similar to that of Avraham, and this is why, and they departed, since the whole war was through him, and they thought that they had already captured him. 2:35. They wanted to kill Avraham because Avraham brought the people of the world out of idolatry and into service of the Creator. This is why they wished to kill him. Furthermore, the Creator evoked them in the world to fight Avraham, so as to magnify Avraham's name in the world and bring him closer to his work. 2:36. When Avraham awakened to chase them, it was said, "O God, do not keep silent." This means that the Nukva awakened for Zeranpin and raised man to him to extend chesed, which is right, until everything was tied to Avraham, chesed Zeranpin, meaning the chokhmah in her clothed in chasadim, and her illumination was completed. And when everything was tied in Avraham, all the kings broke before him. Gil from Nazareth Group is asking, is the Zohar written in an unclear manner in order to direct us for emotion and connection between us and not towards understanding?
I don't know what to tell you. What does it mean in an unclear manner? When we want to explain something to the little ones, how many tricks do we use? Produce all kinds of means, you know, teaching aids, means to pass on to them from our height some explanation, a proper, simple explanation that yet they can understand what we're dealing with. It's very difficult. When you are in the same world, that you can show that you can step down the degrees and you have the experience of thousands of years and you have all the means, and yet it's so difficult. And you're not raising the young one, the little one, to your higher degree. You, let's say I bought my grandson some plastic car. So he thinks that those same plastic cars are outside on the street. He doesn't know that inside those cars outside are engines. He knows he needs to do zzz, so he makes zzz. He doesn't know that the engine is actually doing it in the car. We don't understand how much in our world it is difficult for us to pass knowledge, understanding from a higher degree to a lower degree. There are no means in the lower degree to understand you. He still understands according to his degree. So what the people of the Zohar, what the authors of the Zohar are doing, they're not doing that. They are concerned with how to write it in such a manner that you, when you wake up, you will draw the light that reforms to you. Their problem is not for you to understand the text, but rather for you, even though you don't understand it, it's not clear to you, and you are not associated with it, and it's clear to you. But still, there is some connection between you and that place that they're writing about. When you read that text, they're in some higher degree. As you're reading this text and you want to reach a connection and that same state, same power, let's say, of bestowal, as they are, and because they're telling you here about bestowal, the creator of Abraham, Yitzchak, and all these things. If you crave to that, a little bit, as much as you're possible to do that where you are, you're still connected to the higher degree, and you get some illumination from it, and it already affects you and moves you forward. That is all. There's no understanding here, really. But just have a little bit of contact, of connection. Just like with the little kid with this plastic car, through that he's tied, you know, with the big car. He doesn't know what they're for. It's only a toy. It's only plastic, but still there is some sort of resemblance of contact. And this is all we need for the meanwhile. This is enough for us to be, as we say, in the connection between root and branch. We need to relate to this, treat it seriously, because this is our only means that awakens the light, the force of the correction. See what happens with even in our world, how the babies are growing. Why should we not grow? Yes?
Or from Zichron Yaakov is saying, many groups are being formed in Israel and all over the world. We spoke about the foundation of self-nullification. How can you arrange the group in order for it to happen? And
we need to follow the example of the authors of the Zohar, as they wrote. As first we gather in mutual hatred, we can't stand each other. The hatred is burning so much that there is no such thing in this world. This is what is being revealed. It's being revealed in a terrible manner. And when you look at how the nations are arranging themselves, how... I remember I was in Nablus once, on army reserve duty. It was at the times that Kissinger came to Israel, 35 years ago maybe. Yeah, I think about 35 years. So there were riots there. But I noticed the Arabs would be walking around, holding each other in the hand, and, walking about and talking. So, in our case, sometimes you see children walking like that, but you don't see adults walking, holding each other in the arm or hugging. So they have this closeness. And you look at the Jews, no, each one of them is, on his own, taking his own space, keep away, right? So it's a big difference. That a man, the closer he is to the correction, the worse he is. So for them, those people of the Zohar, what do they say? We sit down to study, to discover spirituality, and we discover hatred between us. Such hatred that you cannot even withstand it. Only later, gradually, the light reforms us. So they have this demand for the light. Well, let's move on to the next part.